Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located in Niles, Ohio.
Welcome back to another edition of the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast. And we are now 2-0. Fantastic opportunity to talk to Coach after the impressive road win up at Mount Union facing the Alliance Aviators. Coach Perry, congratulations to you and the team. I think more importantly, not only is it a road win to get you guys off to 2-0, but it's a quality road win. How special was it knowing that you were able to bring home a victory?
Well, it was a huge game, I think, for our program, really for our kids, because, I've always said you can't fool kids. You know, we can throw up a team that maybe is not great on film and say, these guys are the Chicago Bears, and then vice versa. You know, they see someone good, I think they realize right away, you know, what they're up against. So we knew that this was a quality opponent just after, you know, seeing them, beat Hubbard the way they did, which we actually thought that score should have maybe been a little bit bigger on Alliance's end. So it was a great challenge. It was a great atmosphere for anybody that made it up to the
fantastic
game. Playing at Mount Union was special. And then I really have to say thank you to our fans, because they, that's a decent distance to travel. And we had a great crowd, and it was just all around, obviously, a great night.
It was. It was a great night to be from Niles. I mean, again, the team played wonderful. The fan base was there. I mean, it looked, at least from our side, that we had more fans on the Niles side than the home side, which I thought was, you know, they see us coming in. They had to leave. They're pretty impressed by just not only the football team, but the whole way Niles as a community kind of came together to support the team.
I think that the cool thing with that game just in general, if you go back to the tradition of those schools, I was surprised to see we probably played Alliance, I think, about 35 times, over the course of years, which you wouldn't think with the distance between us that would be the case. But they were in the league together when it was that old All-American. And Mr. Feudy, you remember Mr. Feudy from our days at Niles McKinley, he was our guest speaker before the game, and he talked about how his they tied him, and he thought that they would have had another state championship had they not had tied in 1962. So there's just a lot of history there, so I'm sure there were some folks on the Alliance side that remember all that too. In fact, one of their reporters who had done some stories leading up to the week, he was a big Alliance history buff, so he was real excited that we were renewing the series there, and so that added a little extra element there. And obviously to get on that bus and head home with the victory, as I told you before, beats the alternative, that's for sure.
It definitely beats the alternative. Once again, you're listening to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located in none other here in Niles, Ohio. And if you're looking for that insurance, car, home, everything you need, check out Brandon. Big supporter of the program, and we'd like to show that support back to him. Now, you're 2-0. You got East coming in this Friday, the Bo Ryan Stadium. Now, because there's always got to be something, Coach. There always has to be something. How do you keep these kids humble and not too excited, too cocky, where, you know, East doesn't come in here and kind of surprise them? How do you kind of keep this team level-headed?
Yeah, as football coaches, that's an age-old question, Bo. I would like to think that, you know, while we do have some positives coming here, I would like to think that our kids understand that the team coming in here really was a tremendous team last year. They were within a play or two of beating Girard, and, you know, Girard ended up in the state championship game. They beat us last year. I mean, I thought we did play. That was a game where I thought our kids played pretty well against them. You know, we took that in late into the game, but they're 2-0 again this year, and they scored 60 some points that week. So if we come in here with a sense of arrogance in a situation like this, then we got some big problems. So I don't expect that to happen. I think our kids are excited. And as I told them today before practice, you've put yourself in a situation, but just understand that the fire is going to get a little hotter and brighter each step up the ladder as we try to go forward.
And it will definitely go at hotter as this team hopefully continues this winning streak. I was talking with a few of your players earlier today after we did some of the Dragon player spotlight, and I asked them, I go, stay humble, make sure you're focused on this week, and they said 2-0 is just the beginning, so week by week. So I think it's a good mindset that you're delivering, and obviously that's kind of sinking in what you're preaching to them. So we kind of did this a little bit last week, and I was, we've been doing this show for, last year and then this year, and we usually talk a little bit before and after the games, and I really got the sense that you felt that this team really could go to Alliance and deliver a win, and they did that. Where did that come from? Because we talk, you've never come on, or we've spoke privately where you're like, I think we're, yours. But it just seemed like a sincere, like, we're going to do this.
I think, you just watch so much film, and you see so much. And sometimes film's hard because you're not there seeing it. But we had an opportunity to go up there and watch a game. And I think seeing it in person, we're looking at our kids all week, and we like this matchup here. And really, the physicality I thought we played with Howland was important, because I thought that's what we need to bring to Alliance. And I'll say, and you were in the stands, you could tell me if you feel this way, I think that's by far the most physical game we played on defense.
I thought Joe Gallo ran through the soul of the one kid. I prayed for that child.
I really think that the way, and I, in a close game like that, it does take the will out of the opponent. But I kept telling our kids, look, get this game into the fourth quarter and you'll win it. Because when we were up there, the other thing that you don't necessarily see on film, we saw their kids with their hands on their hips, coming out with cramps, and we didn't have any of that week one. So we really felt like, listen, guys, just keep playing. And that was our game plan going in, get it in the fourth quarter. Right at the end of the first half, and right before we hit that field goal, our kids noticed that and told me,
huh,
Coach, they're getting tired. So I think that preaching of that all week, and then they saw it, and then Chipper hits that 45-yarder, really going away.
I mean,
he probably had a good 55 on that.
Oh, definitely.
That I think that really kind of cemented their mind. But where it came from, Evo, is just at some point you have to start believing the trend. Like I said, they're just passing scrimmages, but you go in there and you perform well in all those. And then two scrimmages, you perform well. And you just have the feeling, even if you go back to last year and you win the last three straight, you just, when that momentum's going, I think even as a coach you believe it. And I think our kids now, having won five straight now, they have a belief that when they step on the field, they got a shot to win. And I'm telling you, when you're dealing with 16, 17-year-old kids, that is more than half the battle. So I don't think we'll walk on the field this year. I'm not saying we're going to win them all, but I know we'll have a belief that we can, and that's important.
That is a definitely an important thing to kind of have that in your mindset. I mean, mental's half the battle. If you can win up there, you kind of win on the field. That fourth and one, I like to call. Because, you guys had them back down in their field. Not much time left. Even if they, and they got to travel, 80, 90 yards if they're going to, and they have to score a touchdown. So, regardless, it was going to come down to them scoring a touchdown. But what was your mindset and why that call?
Well, at that point, I can tell you if it was backed up further, we would have punted. We had a lot of options on there. One of the biggest ones where I was is we were going to run a fake field goal there. And I kind of got talked out of that. And, I don't know, maybe that was the right call. But at the end of the day, if you have 1 yard to win a football game, you got to be able to do that. And sometime during this year, we're going to need to get that yard. We didn't get it there. That's something that needs to be addressed. When we watch film nowadays, we're trying to limit it where we don't watch it all, but that was one of the plays we watched. And I can tell you it was pretty easy to identify why we didn't get that yard there. And that needs cleaned up. But if you have a yard to win a football game, I think you ultimately, and the kids wanted to do it, and I do factor that in when I'm making that decision, go get a yard and put the game away, because we would have really salted that clock way down at that point in time. So, it's a gamble, but it's a calculated risk. We believed we could get a yard, and we have to have that mentality. And like I said, we're going to have to clean that up. But, we were going to go for it one way or another. We had a couple different things dialed up, and you know, maybe the play call wasn't the greatest, but I still think if we block it right, we get that yard.
Yeah, well, you know, and I like the call, and you know, we saw a couple long special team returns. So in my mindset was, even if you don't get it, they're not getting that opportunity to return the ball, maybe get good field percentage. No matter what, they're going to be stuck down there and have a long field to travel with limited time. And then it went
to field goal. I mean, I don't think we would have kicked the field goal no matter what. Yeah. Just, you know, in high school, like, things, you know, they go in there and block a kick. It's not like the NFL where you're getting a snap that's just, we time our snaps. We know where we're at. And, you know, we know that it's good, but it's not great all the time. And just a lot could happen there. And you're still only up. They still need a touchdown to bring it to overtime. It wasn't like it changes it, you know, from a field goal to a touchdown. So I do think that you know, I'm happy with the decision. I wasn't happy with the execution.
Excellent. Now I was up in the stands. I'm jotting down notes. You see, I got a litany of papers and notes, you know, and I went through kind of – I loved 63 and 67. What is that, Helmick and Weiss?
Weiss.
I mean, I thought Sean did a terrific job. It seemed like those guys were just getting great penetration on their quarterback to kind of force him, make him uncomfortable. That was my thought. I don't know. You know more than me.
It's a great observation because I think we were able to move the line of scrimmage. You know, when you get your defensive tackles to do that. Now, I can tell you both of those guys, and they'll be the first to tell you, they moved the line of scrimmage when they weren't supposed to about three or four times when we jumped off sides on 30.
It happened. It did. They're eager.
Yeah, you know, that's the reason they're able to get off the ball. You have to live, you know, you can live with one of those a game. You can't live with three or four of those. But they certainly did. And I thought our defensive ends as well, Klein and Brandon Hayes, did an excellent job. Because if those guys are eating up blocks like that, that means our linebackers are running free. And like you said, you see our guys coming downhill with Joe Gallo and Mays and Longren and those guys. And they were putting that extra hat on that quarterback. And, you know, that wears on that kid as the game goes on. And I thought it was an outstanding run defensive performance.
50 Klein, I had jotted down many times. I mean, Hayes, it seemed like every time the announcer came on the PA, it was Brandon Hayes on it. He had like a Chris Spillman type tackle day, I think. I don't know his numbers. Number 12, I thought 12 did a fabulous job.
That's Brandon Hayes. Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah, Brandon, I thought he did well. The Joe Gallo tackle, I thought, was I would not want to be on the other side of that. Obviously, Seth with the big touchdown play, Al and I with the humongous INT. I mean, that was like a movie script play. Take us through that one. I mean, you see the ball, the play develop, and then
So I'll try to give you this the best I can because our defensive coaches obviously, you know, had us ready for that, but. So we get the timeout, it's fourth down, and I don't know what the yardage was. But it just popped through my head where I said, you know as a play caller sometimes I have to tell myself, think players, not plays. And 81 had really made some nice plays
them. He made the touchdown, and they were going to him.
Yeah.
He was their go-to.
And then 24 was the other. And, you know, I don't get in the way of our defensive guys too much, but I did say, hey, look, think players, not plays. They're going to 81 or 24.
Yes, they are.
And Al and I, as it was almost like a trick play where they were kind of rolling out to the right and they were trying to sneak him back on the left. So as they rolled away from Al and I, and you'd have to ask him, but I think what he realized, when his area coverage was really kind of going to be dead because they were rolling away, and as he went and turned his eyes, 81 was coming right to him, so he just sat right underneath them. And then that ball went up in the air, and to me it was like, oh boy, this is a 50-50 ball. And, you know, that kid had proven to be an exceptional receiver there. But Al and I high-pointed the ball, which you always, you know, that's just one of those everyday drills you do, high-point the ball, and he did. And then obviously, you know, the big run back, and we were able to take the knee. So you know, it goes back to, like I said, a little drill maybe you've done 100 times all summer, and a coach just saying, hey, watch this, and a little extra recognition all came together at the right moment. And I think that play will be remembered in all our minds for a long, long time.
Yeah. And you know, and the thing, I don't want to spill who our guest is, because we always put the coach on first and then our player spotlight with the Red Dragon comes on afterwards. But we spoke to him earlier, and then I was actually speaking to Kyle 17, because we're actually in the coach's office, and we have a senior night for girls soccer right now going on. But I told him he almost his timing on the snap on the punt. I mean, it was. I thought he was going to get an offside penalty. That's how in sync. But Kyle said it was a film study.
Yeah.
And the guest that you brought to the show today was talking about the film study, and I said, how'd you guys have that success? And he was talking about the guy that he played against. I just thought it was a nice wrinkle that these kids just aren't going to school. They aren't just doing it, but they're actually studying film, and they're picking it up. That's kind of sticking. How's that make you feel?
Yeah, well, that's when you know that the kids are dialed in, you know, when they come to you and say, hey, I was looking at, you know, you know, I've been around it where you say to a kid, and you could tell he hadn't even seen the film. So, you know, those guys, and again, Coach Leonard, I know we've had our issues on special teams, but it's not for lack of preparation. And they had picked up a hand signal of a guy on their punt, and when he moved his hand, they were snapping the ball. So, you know, and you could see that on film to point out, and obviously the kids had looked at that. So we felt like we were going to block a punt. I mean, in fact, you know, we say to ourselves, this week we block a punt. And we were close, obviously, a few times there. And, you know, those offensive linemen, they've really turned that into a brotherhood, and they're in the film room a lot and grading themselves out, and it's nice to see that that's really paying off for us.
Awesome stuff. Once again, the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons football podcast powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located here in Niles, Ohio. A couple more guys. I mean, we know you mentioned Chase. I thought he had a couple big receptions as well. Seth with the go-ahead touchdown, but obviously those balls were being delivered by your quarterback, number 8, Zach Leonard. I thought the scramble he had where he juked out the defender and just darted in, I mean, he's just so quick, and he's just like a little, and, you know, it's surprisingly quick, but his performance and your thoughts, and no turnovers. I mean, you have to love how the team protected the ball.
That's an underrated part of that game. You know, that game kind of, where I figured we were going to win is when they muffed the punt, where it went off the kid's foot. And if you can avoid those kind of things, you know, as I told you last week, if we'd you know, had the turnovers like we had against Howland, you know, it might have been a different story there. So, just huge the way Zach controlled the whole game. Quickly, we were in a situation that we didn't feel like we could run the ball, so we had to go to what we call our Air Force package, when we bring the extra wide receivers in and spread them out. And he was just distributing the ball, and then again, a kid like him in a close game, he is a competitor. And it's just plain and simple. He's probably the most fiery. You know, I'll compliment another kid, Sean Weiss, is like that. I think that the bigger the game is, Sean gets going a little bit better.
I love this performance.
Zach's a competitor, and you know, that's what you want at the end of the game. You know, he's telling me, not in a selfish way, but keep the ball in my hands. Keep the ball in my hands. He wants to salt the game away, and you know, certainly we try to do that with him. But he just made some outstanding plays. The touchdown to Seth to take the lead was great, but the one before that, when he didn't have his initial go-to on the read, and he rolls out to the right. And again, this goes back to a drill we did all August, a scramble drill. When the play breaks down, what do? You know, if you go back, you can see our receivers did exactly what we do in scramble drill. Hits Jeremy Hall in the end zone there, and you know, you knew at that point, even though we were still down, that this was it was going to happen. It just felt like at that point in time it was going to happen. And you know, again, our coaches coming up and just working the kids all summer and things like that, to have it all come together a night like that, just it felt great.
It did. It was a wonderful, wonderful, and congratulations to you, all the coaches, the boys, the moms, the frontliners, everyone kind of get, I like to say, puts their hand in the pile to make this all happen. Just hats off to you guys. It was a memory. Anyone who was fortunate enough to make their way to Alliance, they're going to have a game. Not only probably one of the best football games experiences that they're going to come across. Like I said, I've been to a ton of games, and then, like I said, I mean, I've been to the White House at Penn State. I've been to the first night game, Notre Dame, Michigan, where they're going into triple overtimes, and sitting in Alliance watching you guys bring that home, that victory. That was fantastic, Coach. Now, we always announce our permanent player of the game. Now, usually if I'm there, I'll pick the guy. If I'm not, you have the coaches rally him up. I'd like this week, if we could, give the team the Permanente card and let them vote themselves on the play because I...
Well, I'm going to tell you. Yeah. Here's what I was going to say. You're going to put it on me. I was going to say, all right, here's the deal. I'm putting it on you, and here's my nominees, and so there was a bunch. So.
Yeah, I mean, between, you know, I mean, you know, I would say, you know, Zach, I mean, how can you not give it to Zach? But you got the INT by number four in the line. I mean, you got a little bit of a breakout game, I think, by number five. You got those D tackles kind of tearing it up. And again, you got Chase with the big field goal when you needed some points on the board. So, gentlemen, if you're listening, you guys are going to be handed the gift card. Maybe not in hand, but you guys are going to take the vote and give that to the teammate. Because, again, if I had the ability, I'd be handing a gift card out to all you gentlemen. Just a great, fantastic effort. And as always, if we forget to mention anybody out there, I mean, just I'm in the stands talking to parents, talking to family and friends, and, you know, I'm scribbling down notes. So if I miss a play, which I miss a ton of them, you know, it doesn't mean that your kid was any less deserving of any accolades on, kind of, again, putting their hand in the pile. But, Coach, East this week, quick thoughts.
Great challenge. You know, now certainly means a heck of a lot. You start thinking about, you know, trying to stack these things together. It's our last non-conference game. It's a team that we lost to last year. We just got the call a few minutes ago announcing that we're going to be WKBN Game of the Week. So the TV is going to be here. So that tells you right there, it's one of the eyes of the Valley are going to be on Bo Ryan Stadium Friday night. And there's one other little surprise, maybe that'll come out of this. We hope maybe we get a guest that's real special to our players coming in, but they'll probably be able to figure that out by me saying that, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. It's, you know, again, we put ourselves in a situation where we get to play in another big game, and that's all you ask for. And if we can, you know, somehow go out and perform the way we're capable, that'll keep happening for us week in and week out. And they'll just get bigger and bigger. And in our mind, as a program, that's more fun. And you do this to get yourself put in games like this. And we're just really excited. Can't wait for Friday.
Awesome stuff. Once again, you listen to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance. And we like to say, go Dragons! Welcome to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located in Niles, Ohio. Welcome to our first 2019 Red Dragon Player Spotlight, and today we're joined with the standout center, defensive lineman Nick Tress, number 50, the senior. Nick, first of all, before we get into the nooks and crannies of what you bring to the table, congratulations, you and your teammate. A fabulous win last Friday against the Lions. Kind of just take us through that whole experience and bring it home.
Well, we just came out. Coach Perry gave us the game plan. He just said, let's keep it close till fourth quarter. We just kept battling. And, I mean, it was a fight. Don't get me wrong, but in the end, it worked out for us.
It definitely worked out. I thought the great part was, I mean, you know, it's what, 28-10, 28-17. You guys kept chomping back, and you know, finally get that lead, 32-28. The emotions of just the game, the back and forth of it all. I mean, how'd you guys just keep your guys' mindset knowing that, you know, you're going to give this all four quarters?
Well, coming into it, we're taught all off season just keep fighting, keep battling. As long as we're going 100%, it'll come out nice for us. Like, I noticed all the last years before we give up, we'd only be a one-half team or we wouldn't finish all four quarters, but we really came out strong and got it done.
Nick, I think you bring up a great point because I do think that was one of the things last year you guys would put such great quarters together, maybe a half, but that consistency to put a four-quarter game together kind of was absent. But this is what you guys, I think, are bringing to the table in 2019. So when you guys are in that Alliance game, I mean, at what point do you kind of get the sense the tides were turning in your favor? And I mean, I think as a crowd, we were sitting there, you could kind of pick the momentum up. Like, you guys were making the tackles. You guys were making the first downs. You guys were holding them on defense. But for you, when did that sense of, was it the final INT when Al and I start returning that thing where you're like, we finally got her? Or was there a little sense before that?
I mean, here and there, like, that big play to Seth in the first half. That got me going. And then it was just like Zach scrambled to Jeremy. That's when I really thought we're going to take this home.
That's awesome stuff. Once again, Nick Tresty, standout center, D lineman here on the Red Dragon Player Spotlight, talking a little Niles Red Dragon football. So, Nick, I mean, kind of just, you know, the parents, the audience, the community is listening to you right now. Just kind of, you know, how did you get, you know, when did you start playing, and kind of take us through the Pop Warner days?
I started when I was 6. My mom didn't like it. She kept telling me, play flag football for a couple of years. I don't want you getting hurt, but me and my dad, we convinced her to let me play. I know my first year down there, I got a most improved player. It being my first year, I started halfway through the season. And then me and a lot of the guys in there, we just kept it going throughout the years.
And you've kept it going. I mean, have you always had the size?
Not totally. I put it on more going into freshman year. I used to be like one of the shortest linemen, and then just like 6-7 inches over a year and a half.
See, that never happened to me. I've always been the shortest one, and I remain the shortest one. For you, I mean, everyone prior to us doing the interview was saying, hey, you're getting Nick. Nick's a great kid. He's the jokester of the team. He keeps everybody loose. Do you kind of agree with that? Are you the jokester, the fun guy?
I mean, I joke around a lot, but I don't know. There's definitely a group of us, like Brandon Hayes, he's a good joker. David Mays, Kyle gets a few ones in there. Just overall, like, none of us are like that strict. We all just like to go out and have fun.
Definitely. Now for you, now Coach Perry just left, and what's the voice, and what, there's a name for it. What do you guys do that makes him crazy? And I think he said one of the episodes that there's a name for it. There's some voice you guys do.
Oh, the gasser voice.
The gasser voice. Can you do the gasser voice?
No, I don't do it. You need to talk to Romero.
Okay.
He's a good one with it. Caleb, Cole, both of them, they get it going and drives Coach crazy all the time.
So you've witnessed the gasser voice Coach Perry?
Yep. It'll be at the most random times. Sometimes I don't think he's around and they're doing it, and then he just comes out of nowhere, starts yelling at them, which in the end, like, I think is pretty funny. I don't know if he just does it just to, like, make them, like, kind of, like, conscious about it, but no, they're silly.
Awesome. Now you are the, I mean, you know, a lot of times, and I don't think this would be any different, I mean, the center is kind of like the brain trust, absent of the quarterback. I mean, you're the guy seeing the front, seeing what defenses are doing, kind of, you know, getting guys in order, keeping guys in line. Going through that, what I just said, I mean, what's it like just kind of you and Zach and your camaraderie together kind of working as one to keep this offensive unit gelling?
Well, really, it's not so much me and Lenny. It's there being 4 seniors on the line. We're all 3-year lettermen. We're going to be 3-year lettermen. So, like, we all just kind of have a feel, but I don't know. I like to watch a lot of films, so I'm able to really, like, pick up what they're doing.
Nice. Now you're a film junkie.
Yeah.
I love film junkies. How much up usually? What are the tendencies that you love? This is what I ask all the college guys that are going through the draft process when I bring them on the show. I mean, is there a particular moment, maybe this year, where you're breaking down film, you're watching film all week, and then Friday night, what you watched on tape kind of, you know, unfolds in front of you and you're able to make a call or pick up a tendency from the defense and it kind of leads to a positive play?
Oh, yeah. Just this week, the nose guard, I realized that he couldn't use his hands. Got into him real easy. That helped, especially on those pass plays, not driving me back. And then just picking up a lot of blitzes off the end. McGinnis and Zach Cicero, they did a good job IDing that. I think we all just work well as like one big unit up front.
Yeah, and that's what you have to have, a cohesive unit up front. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's on both sides of the ball, but I think that speaks more volumes for the offensive line, you guys all being one unit and kind of doing your thing. Once again, Nick Tress here on the first player spotlight for the Red Dragon 2019 season. Nick, this was the big win. This was the staple win for you guys. You went on the road. You beat a quality team. Now, this is what I'm concerned about. I don't want you guys getting too big-headed. You got East coming in this week. Who's going to be the voice of reason to make sure you guys aren't getting too cocky, too complacent, and you guys are going to kind of stay to, you know, keep your nose to the grindstone and keep this thing going?
I'd say definitely our captains, all five of our captains. I feel real strong about them. Joe Gallo, Aaron Klein, Sean Weiss, David Mays, and Lenny. They all just kind of keep us going, especially even just all the seniors as a group. We all just like pushing each other, pushing the young kids more, whether it's even like, even on special teams, we try to get each other going.
That's awesome. And for you, you guys get home, you have the police escort. What was that like?
That was crazy. I was sitting there, and I just happened to look up, and I see a cop in front of us, and I start joking around. I was like, hey, we're getting a police escort. I tell a couple of buddies around me, and they just look, and then I see the flash, the lights flicker on, and I was like, I just called that. I had no idea. I mean, I felt, that's like 200 IQ right there.
And you being the jokester, I mean, is there a point during the day, what point do you kind of go from happy Nick Tress to a line machine, you know, bulldozing, you know, killer out there? When's that switch get flipped?
As soon as the helmet goes on.
Yeah?
Yep. On the sideline, you know, I can joke around sometimes, but as soon as I strap on that helmet, get out there, it's full go.
It was full go. Nick, again, fabulous job. I have one of the most exciting games I've been to, and I've been to a ton of football games from the NFL level, collegiate level, every year for God knows how long, and watching what you guys were able to do Friday night at Mount Union was just a joyous moment. I can't imagine how excited you guys had to be kind of putting all this hard work in and kind of seeing some of the fruits of your labor. Before we let you go, though, if you ever listen, we do like to have a little bit of fun with you guys. We call it three and out. A few off-the-wall questions. You ready to take a shot with some of those?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the gasser, who was the inventor of the gas? The gas?
I believe Romero.
Okay.
Yeah. He's done it, like, as long as I've known him.
All right.
So definitely him.
Now, you're an offensive lineman, and I always reserve this for when we do the collegiate shows with the offensive lineman prospects. Usually the linemen are the bigger guys. That means you guys are the bigger eaters. Who's the biggest eater amongst the group? And what's the most impressive meal you've seen?
Probably me or McGinnis. when we go over our coaches, Coach Connell, he likes to invite a lot of the line over. First time I made this man burger, it was bun, burger, cut up hot dog, another burger, like ketchup, mustard, pickles, just, this thing was huge, and I ate it all.
You have a nickname?
Good. No, people just call me Tress.
What's the funniest nickname on the team? How'd they get it?
I don't even know. Sometimes, probably Maze. Sometimes we call him Nipple Boy.
But how does he get Nipple Boy? That's just
he got like a cyst or something in his nipple.
Okay.
And it was real like puffed up. It was so gross too, but definitely like when I'm older, like 40, 50, I'm always going to remember that.
And the final one before we let you go, and again, we appreciate you taking some time. female celebrities. We always like to ask the kids if you could take any female celebrity out for a quick bite to eat, who are you going to take on a little dinner date?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You answer exactly like every college prospect that comes on the show. Ooh, great question.
I'd probably have to go with Camila Cabello.
Nice.
Pretty good looking.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of her music, too. I mean, it's not like hype music or anything, but I don't know. I just like the music.
Excellent stuff. Well, Nick, hey, man, we appreciate you stopping by. We always like to stay hungry, be blessed, and best of luck to you guys not only this week against East, but for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Thank you.